This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in. Another edition, a special edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, and boy, oh boy, I'm pretty fired up. My guy, Thor Nystrom, in town, and a little behind the scenes, I totally forgot because I did not win the competition. So, Thor, I immediately erased it. But we did a bowl competition on VSiN Primetime set up by producer, former producer Britton. Love you, Britton. And you came in second place, but there was an agreement between you and Vaughn Dalzell. And lo and behold, you got a nice stadium swim day.
Yeah, my former colleague at NBC, and we went heads up at the very end there. We ended up tying, and then Vaughn won on the tiebreaker. But fortunately enough for me, we had made a deal in advance. Whoever wins takes the loser. So we decided to go the week before college football, and now we're at college football. So it was a fun way to sort of wave goodbye to the summer, and now I'm ready to go.
All right. At Thor KU is where you can find him on social media, and Fantasy Life is where all his columns will be up. He dives into it all. So today, like I said, special edition. Thor's got to catch a flight, so we're not going to go too crazy long, but I wanted to get Thor's thoughts on a handful of teams. And we're going to talk Big Ten and ACC. I want to start with the ACC, Thor, because that is the conference that will have a meaningful game this week. Georgia Tech taking on Florida State over in Ireland at Aviva Stadium. And right now, we've actually seen a decent amount of money hit the market on Georgia Tech. This thing was north of two touchdowns, now sits at around a consensus 11. There's 11 and a half out there if you search real long and hard. So let's start with Florida State. Win total sits at 9.5, and they have to play Clemson. They have to play Miami. Miami on the road. They have to go to Notre Dame. So three challenging games right there. They do get to host Clemson. They also wrap up the season against Florida. What do your numbers have on Florida State? Because it does feel like, just based off of the odds, and I would say based off the way I feel about this conference, Thor, it's kind of a three-head monster with NC State got some love and Virginia Tech's got a little bit of love. What do you think of the Noles this year?
Yeah, we have some teams lingering there, but I am fading the favorite, in this case, Florida State. My numbers are almost a full win under on Florida State from the 9.5 win total. The talent, you know, like for me, DJU is essentially analogous to Jordan Travis qualitatively. They're not the same kind of quarterback, but I think you can get the same sort of value out of them. My bigger concern, running back, you lose Trey Benson. Now you're going to Roydell Williams, never been a full-time running back before for Alabama. You're also counting on an Alabama transfer wide receiver who didn't play a ton there to immediately become your wide receiver one in Malik Benson. So I'm a little bit concerned about those the skill positions there and all the acclimation, the lack of continuity, just the enormous amount of roster turnover. There's one team at the top in the ACC I'm fading. It's Florida State.
All right, let's go to Clemson. I know everyone wants to hear about Miami, and we'll get to the Canes here momentarily, but it does feel like a lot of negativity out there regarding this Clemson team. They don't go in the portal. That's well documented. Last year, they lost four games in the ACC. Now, worth noting, as I've pointed out, since the call in to Dabo's radio show, Clemson has not lost a game. They're 5-0 since who was it? Tyler and Spartanburg,
yeah.
Called into the infamous radio show. That stretch of consecutive wins probably going to come to a close there. Week one against Georgia, where they're a two-touchdown underdog on a neutral against the Georgia Bulldogs. But we look at the schedule. They have to go to Florida State October 5th. They have to go to Virginia Tech November 9th. No Miami on the schedule this year. You're looking at a win total at 9 for Clemson. Let me just double-check to make sure it didn't move. But yeah, 9 minus 15 to the over at DraftKings. What do your numbers have on Clemson, and are they worth a look, in your opinion, to win this conference this year?
If we've fallen back to the 9 flat in the market,
yep.
I am fading the market and going over. Before it was 9.5 at some of the books, that's where I would have stayed away. I think that is what the number should be. My number on Clemson is 9.6. And here's my whole thing with them. Clemson lost guys on specifically their defensive front. They have to replace everyone there. They're always sick on the defensive front because they recruit the best guys in the nation there. The back end of their defense filled with stars. I couldn't believe Barrett Carter went back. They got some of their star safety back, RJ Mickens, Khalil Barnes, etc. So I think they're going to be just fine on defense. Again, they they'll be a top 10 defense again. And then on offense, I don't know how they don't improve. Right? Like, everybody comes back. You have nine returning starters.
Year two for Garrett Riley,
a guy who, by the way, brought Max Duggan, dragged an offense led by Max Duggan to the national title game. The guy didn't become a moron overnight. It might have taken a little while as far as the acclimation goes, but Phil Maffa is an absolute stud. Their offensive line is good, so we know Clemson's going to be able to run the ball. Klubnik cannot be worse than he was last year. And by the way, last year's receiving corps was decimated by injuries.
Yep.
You're getting those guys back, several top former recruits, plus Jake Bringenstuhl at tight end. And Bringenstuhl is one of the better tight ends in the nation. Offense has to be better. The defense is going to be just as good. And by the way, they face a schedule that is far easier than Florida State's. My numbers say that it's the 47th schedule in the nation in terms of quality. So if we're at 9 flat there, I'm going over.
Yeah, 9 minus 15. Make sure to always check around. I'm just having DraftKings up here on my computer, so that's the number that I'll grab here. Let's get to Miami. The buzz of the offseason, they open up the season. Very fascinating game. Going to the swamp. As soon as this thing touched 3 in the market a couple weeks ago, people took Florida. Right now, 2.5. Might get back to 3 here. Miami, the road favorite there. They get to host Virginia Tech, a team that people are very high on, September 27th. Florida State comes to Miami. We're honest on this podcast. It's not like Miami has the most raucous environment down there in South Beach, but Hard Rock Stadium, regardless, they will be home. They go out and get some prize jewels in the transfer portal. Cam Ward at quarterback, Damian Martinez at running back. Win total, 9. Juice varies a little higher, minus $1.25 at DraftKings, and they are 4-1 to win this conference. Hype seems to be there, and I've had a couple people come on the podcast recently that are buying the hype. Are you buying the Canes this year, Thor?
Famous last words, but yes. I just, you have too much talent there. And now Mr. Cristobal, who of course has famously punted away a couple games there at the end. You'd like to think he's learned his lesson, but if nothing else, you have continuity there with the coaching staff. And the offense now returning 10 guys who were starting last season at one place or another. Of course, they used the transfer portal to beef up there. Cam Ward and Damian Martinez, you have this backfield of Pac-2 teams, essentially, the guys that got left out in the cold, but both of them are dynamic players. The receiving corps is absolutely awesome. I think Restrepo is a stud. You went out in the transfer portal. You got Brown from Houston, who is another really good receiver. And Cristobal teams are always awesome on both sides of the line of scrimmage. They are once again. Then you look at the back end of the defense, Francisco Mayuga, former teammate of Cam Ward, by the way, at Wazoo. So they're very good on the back end as well. The only slight thing that you're a little bit concerned about, last year the secondary got taken a couple times. So can they get better there? They're breaking in 3 new starters, but every single other position on this team I love. The Florida game is weird because I think I'm going to be betting the Florida money line in that one. Florida's another team that I'm higher on. But you look at the rest of this schedule, you know, you're thinking about the win total. In the rest of the schedule, so I basically have the Florida game as a coin flip. I also have the Louisville Week 8 game as a coin flip. I got a 37% win expectancy for Miami against Florida State later in the season. Other than that, we're above 70% win expectancy in every single game on the schedule for Miami. That's 9 of the 12 games. I'm going the over on this for Miami. 56 strength of schedule in my metrics.
Yeah, it was fun to talk to Stanford C from ESPN. Safe travels, my friend, over to Dublin there for College Game Day. And he said his hot take is that Miami loses Week 1 to Florida and then makes the playoff.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
1,000%.
And it might be, and that's the interesting thing, as we ride into this unknown world of the expanded playoff, Thor, what kind of prices are we going to get in season when teams fall? And I'm with you, man. The more and more I think about it, Florida, I think, is going to be a side that I'm on. I'm hoping to get a 3, but ultimately probably will be with the Gators. So we're also going to talk some Big Ten. You got a plane to catch, so we're going to do that here momentarily. But it feels like the Big 3, and then anybody else can make a pitch, right? So I know, you know, my colleague here at VSiN, Ben Wilson, high on NC State. I've heard a lot of people high on Virginia Tech. I bet SMU over, even though I'm a little skittish off of that one, just worried about the jump from the G5 to the P4. Adam Burke on this podcast, high on North Carolina. So who's the team in that next tier, Thor, that you would say you're rather bullish on?
Of those teams, the team I'm bullish on is SMU.
Okay.
I'm definitely going over on SMU. I think they're a dark horse to make the college football playoff. I even got the long shot 152-1 ticket on Preston Stone to win the Heisman, because if SMU is in the playoff, he is going to be in discussion for that. SMU has all kinds of firepower on offense. The team I'm fading from that group is Louisville. It is concerning to me for a team with so much turnover that does not appear to have quarterback depth to be putting all the eggs in the basket of Tyler Shuck, a Mr. Glass guy who can never stay healthy no matter what.
Well, and they took a big hit this week, right? Lacey gets hurt, the prize jewel that they got in the transfer portal. So, you know, he was a guy last year that I believe had, you know, 1,300 yards of receiving yards, and he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks here to start the year. More than likely going to miss the Notre Dame game, probably going to miss the SMU game. So we'll see with that broken collarbone how quickly he gets back out there.
And Tim, that's especially tough because you're looking to replace most of your skill guys at Louisville. Jamari Thrash obviously is out the door. The two running backs, one of them Garendo taken in the NFL draft. Juwan Jordan was a UDFA, but they're replacing all those different guys at the skill. And so to have a guy that was projected to potentially be that wide receiver one for Brohm go down, that definitely hurts. I'm probably where the market is on Virginia Tech. I think some people are going a little bit crazy there. I think the number,
all the production coming back. I will say on this podcast, I did take a flyer on Kyren Drones at 150-1 to win the Heisman Trophy.
I think that's fair. If you're going to wet your beak, I think that's the place to do it. If that win total is still around 8.5, I just think that's the right number.
Right.
Right. Like the market has juiced that thing up to the correct place. My system is right around. I got 8.7 on Virginia Tech. NC State is a team that very much intrigues me. I have 8.8 wins on NC State. I think they're at 8.5 right now in the market. And NC State plays a very manageable schedule, 59th. And then recall, they still have the offensive coordinator, Robert Anai, who for years and years and years has put out good offenses. Last year with the quarterbacks, it wasn't quite a great fit. Brennan Armstrong pushed him out early. And then the scrambler kid, Morris, who is now
at Maryland.
Now at Maryland, was not a great fit for that timing, get the ball out quick, put it on someone's hands within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. That was not the system for him. Hopefully he's found that now. But Robert Anai has found the correct quarterback for his system in Grayson McCall. That's the sort of stuff he does, Grayson McCall. And he ripped it up in the spring game, his first time there, 16 for 20 for Grayson McCall in the spring game. The defense loses Logan Wilson, but I love their defensive coordinator, Tony Gibson. They still have multiple NFL prospects on their front seven. NC State is also one of those programs that's very good along the trenches all the time. They will be again.
Yeah, Kevin Concepcion coming back. Huge coup by them to keep him. Jordan Waters from Duke comes in. Yeah, NC State, a team that I'm very intrigued to see. And that week two showdown against Tennessee there in Charlotte should be a lot of fun. That's Thor Nystrom. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll focus on the Big Ten before Thor needs to get out of town and get on his plane. More coming up with Thor on the other side.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, more with Thor Nystrom. Once again, follow him on Twitter at ThorKU. I did not talk slander about your beloved Kansas Jayhawks this postseason, so I didn't get many angry tweets from Thor, but we're actually going to focus on the Big Ten here, not your beloved Kansas Jayhawks. Are you worried about the lack of depth at quarterback? That would be my only question.
For Kansas?
Jalen Daniels is a stud, but can he stay healthy? And Andy Koltunicki going to Penn State. Quick thoughts on your Jayhawks.
Yeah, with the 8.5 number, whatever it is, and being picked fourth in the preseason poll by the media, I don't think either of those is right. If Jalen Daniels plays 12 games, they're going to exceed those expectations. If he doesn't, it's pretty clear that they're not. So that's That's what we're looking at.
There it is. Yeah. Summed up right there. Jalen Daniels needs to stay healthy. All right, let's get to the Big Ten. We talked about this with Matt Eumanns, and I'm curious your thoughts on a couple of bets that I do have incorporated in this conference. I'll just flatly ask this. Ohio State or Oregon, who is the best team in the Big Ten heading into the year, in your opinion?
I'm going to go with Oregon. I love the coaching staff. I love the additions that they made to replace the biggest guys who had left. Dylan Gabriel is a stud, and I think Dylan Gabriel could be even better than Bo Nix was, and obviously Bo Nix put up the ludicrous numbers there. I also really like their defense. So, you know, and they get their CB1 in the portal in Jabbar Muhammad. They bring him over from Washington. They badly needed that. It just, you look across the positions, it just looks like they're set everywhere. And it's exciting for them going into the Big Ten this year. My win total on Oregon is 11.1. Right now at the books, 10.5. That was one of my over bets in this conference.
Yeah, for me, and people have heard it ad nauseum, I missed out on some good numbers. Brad Powers joined the podcast way back in the early part of the summer. And he recommended -220 for them to make the playoff. It ballooned out to -$3 at DraftKings, +360 here at Circa. So I paired them up in a little cross-sport parlay. What could go wrong? Oregon to make the playoff with the Eagles to win the NFC East. So let's get to Ohio State. Will Howard officially named the starting quarterback to no one's surprise. This is a team whose win total sits at 10.5. They are the favorite to win the Big Ten this year, albeit the odds aren't, you know, overwhelming. Right now, if you look at the odds right now to win this conference, it's around +160 in favor of Ohio State, +155 to be exact right now at DraftKings. They go out in the portal, and they were very busy, obviously. They, you know, keep Emeka Egbuka. People are anticipating big things from the freshman phenom, Jeremiah Smith. You look at the schedule, Iowa at home, Iowa's coming off a bye, at Oregon, at Penn State, home to Michigan. So some potential landmines out there for Ohio State. What do you make of Ryan Day's squad? And also, what did you think of Chip Kelly getting the offensive coordinator role after Bill O'Brien was decided to go to Boston College?
Yeah, I want to see a 30 for 30 on how that whole thing went down. Obviously, Chip Kelly joining, you know, his former mentee, I suppose how you would say it.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, at New Hampshire is where those guys first met, of course. And very interesting circumstances there with Chip Kelly and the UCLA administration not getting along, and then how that whole thing went down, Bill O'Brien leaving. But Chip Kelly is a great fit, of course, for this offense that has two guys that should be starting in the NFL right now. They have two NFL starting running backs in their backfield. Will Howard, at least, is a good fit for Chip Kelly's offense in that he's a big guy that can run around, steal yards with his legs. The thing that's going to inform the ceiling of the offense is, can Will Howard get better with those quick timing concepts, the accuracy go up? You have a lot of athletes here that you can get out in space if Will Howard is able to hit them on the hands on time. That's the biggest thing there. But, of course, their defense is sick as well. Ohio State does have a slightly harder schedule than Oregon, in part because Oregon is the one that gets to host Ohio State. Because of that, my win total for Ohio State is right around where the books are. I'm at 10.8 on that, so I pass against that 10.5 number. Recall, Ohio State, or keep in mind, Ohio State only needs to get to 10-2 to make the college football playoff. I'm not saying they're going to punt any of these games, but that's sort of your number where you're going to get in. And a 10-2 season would put them under the number.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to Penn State. This is a team that, you know, the jokes out there, no one's happier than Penn State for the expanded playoff. They are a favorite to make the college football playoff. As I mentioned just moments ago, Andy Koltynecki of Kansas now is their offensive coordinator. Manny Diaz leaves to go to Duke to take that head coaching position. And then they bring in Tom Allen. So schedule wise, you get Ohio State at home. You have to go to USC. You do not play Oregon. You do not play Michigan. So schedule-wise, not too shabby. You open up at on the road at West Virginia, which could be a tricky spot there. Big noon kickoff. Penn State win total, I believe, is 10.5. Heavily juiced to the under. 5-1 to win this conference. As mentioned, a favorite to make the college football playoff. What do you think of the Nittany Lions?
I think the Nittany Lions are the Miami Hurricanes of the Big Ten, where it's another one where the logical part of your brain wants to believe, and then your scars from betting past in the years past is telling you, like, danger, danger, danger. But I feel like, you know, we talked about Miami a little bit ago, and I think Penn State did a really good job plugging their very few small holes, one of the big ones being at offensive coordinator. You mentioned bringing in Koltynecki. of course, I'm the world's biggest Kansas homer, so I watch every game that he oversaw on offense. He's going to be really interesting here as far as a fit for Penn State, because the rushing concepts he does, it's like you hide the ball in the cup with the misdirection. It's really, really difficult for the defense to get a beat on where the ball is going. You have the pre-snap motion, so Kansas, or in this case Penn State, always knows in advance, are you in man coverage, are you in zone coverage? And then when they get the opportunities to go downfield one-on-one, that's when they take those shots. That's what's most fascinating to me about this marriage between Kwaltenegger and James Franklin. James Franklin wouldn't let the past couple offensive coordinators dial up those deep shots. Kwaltenegger, he is going to get them in his offense, because you have to, if you're the defense, you have to bring guys up into the box or they will just abuse you with the run game. Obviously, Penn State has two studs at running back. Their defense is great as well. The only question here is, will Drew Aller, can we get some downfield explosive passes out of him? He obviously has the arm for it. The recruiting pedigree was there. He just hasn't gotten a shot to do it yet, probably because the former staff didn't trust him to do so. But I'm going to go over that 10.5 number. Ooh. If we're getting juice on it. My number on Penn State is 10.9. I bet over on 10 earlier this summer, but if they're going to toggle that thing up to 10.5 and give me extra juice on it, I'm going to go over on that. I'm also betting Penn State to get into the playoff. A couple other scheduling things to keep in mind. Penn State has 7 home games and it plays 0 road games against teams that my power rankings have in the top 19. It's one of the reasons there's very few losable games here. You have the home game against Ohio State later in the season, which is essentially a coin flip. The next lowest win expectancy of a game that I have on Penn State is 79%. That is the road game against USC. This is a very advantageous schedule for a team looking for a big breakthrough. I think James Franklin gets it this year.
Yeah, the Big Ten East disbanding. A couple teams are happy about that. Penn State, one of them. Rutgers, definitely one of them as well with that schedule this year. We have talked Big Ten, and it's taken this long because that's where they are on the odds to talk about the defending national champions, the Michigan Wolverines. And as Phil Steele pointed out, and I'm sure you have something very comparable, last year they entered number 7 on his experience chart. This year, 117th. Jim Harbaugh moves on to the NFL. Jesse Minter moves on to the NFL. So a lot of new faces, not a lot of continuity on offense. The defense still, I think, should be pretty good. We don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be. Donovan Edwards may get a million carries. Right now, you're looking at 9 wins and as their win total. You have to play USC. You have to play Oregon, you have to play Texas, and of course you have to play Ohio State. So a lot of landmines on that schedule. Michigan at 9 has been a pretty popular fade. I think 9.5s were out there very early, and those were very quickly scooped up. Are you on the fade train of Michigan?
Overall, I am, but as far as that number goes, I feel like the market has shoved it down far enough where you could no longer bet under there. It would have to be over or nothing. My number on Michigan is 9.3. This despite the fact that, you know, you downgrade them big time in your power rankings year over year. The roster gets gutted, only 7 returning starters. You mentioned Steele's metrics with that. And then the entire staff gets gutted. It's not just Sharon Moore is new to his role. I realize he had 4 games as the interim coach last year against Cupcakes mostly, but he's new to being the full-time installed head coach. And then you have 3 coordinators that are also new to their position, and then several new position coaches as well. I think the argument for this Michigan team essentially is that they're the Penn State of the last 3 years, where you have the nasty defense, you have the good run game. Can you get anything whatsoever out of your passing game? That probably will only crop up against the better opponents. I think this team is upset proof, but then you also, you know, you look at the teams better than them. I don't know that they're going to pull off any upsets because of the way that team is constituted. You mentioned the Texas game, Oregon, and then Ohio State. Those are the ones that you're concerned about. Washington be the only other one, but I have Michigan at 82% win expectancy in that. This is a pass for me as far as at the 9, but like I said, if I had to bet, I would go over.
All right, let's pepper a couple more before we let you run, and let's go to the West Coast. We talked about Oregon. Let's hit USC, let's hit Washington, and let's hit UCLA. Let's kind of lump them all together. I do have a win total under UCLA, 5.5. That number is unfortunately gone, so, you know, we were fortunate on the podcast to give that earlier in the summer. The one team I'm starting to grow a little bit more on is USC, believe it or not, as a Notre Dame fan. 7.5 is their win total. Their schedule's brutal. LSU at Michigan. They wrap up the season against Notre Dame. They play Nebraska. They play Penn State. So it's a very challenging schedule, but walk us through the LA schools before we go to the Pacific Northwest, USC and UCLA for you.
Yeah, so USC, they're actually up in my power rankings by six spots, which some people might be surprised about. You lose Caleb Williams there. But I think overall, the defense certainly is going to be objectively and I think significantly better. You got out Alex Grinch there. I love the hire of D'Anton Lynn from UCLA. They also had some interesting position coaches. They got North Dakota State's former head coach, Matt Entz's linebacker coach and associate head coach. And then on defense, you return a lot of dudes. I mean, one that you lost was Kalen Bullock. But last year's pass defense was an abomination. There's no way it's going to be worse. They ranked 101st in the nation yards per game allowed passing last year. So they're going to be better in that. I think the front seven is going to be better. And then there is, what was the old Bill Simmons theory? The Ewing theory?
The Ewing theory,
we might have a Ewing theory here in play as far as Caleb Williams leaving. Caleb Williams, he obviously a singular talent, but he loved, of course, to scramble around and play hero ball a little bit. In Lincoln Riley's offense, he is going to scheme guys open. Perhaps certainly not a better player, but whether it's Miller Moss or Jade Maiva, they are going to run those timing concepts that Riley schemes up. I think probably with more efficiency than Caleb Williams, who again wanted to extend the play a really long time, which was not a good fit behind last year's terrible offensive line. I think that offensive line has gotten better too. As far as the win total, I passed on that being 7.5. My numbers are right around there, even though I kind of like this team. They're playing the number three strength of schedule in the nation, according to my metrics. So that's where I had to sort of put my hands up and pass, but I will be looking to bet on them during the fall.
All right, let's get to UCLA. I mentioned I bet 5.5 under. Now 5 is pretty market-wide. There's even some 4.5s out there, which I think maybe have gone a little too far. Place we're sitting right now, Thor, circa, has gone to 4.5. But look, we all have made our jokes about the press conference that Deshaun Foster gave at Big Ten Media Days, which was not great.
Not the best.
You look at the schedule, man, that is rough. You open up on the road at Hawaii. That number is balloon, cratered down. It's easy for me to say. You get Indiana off a bye. I think Indiana could be feisty at LSU, Oregon, at Penn State, at Rutgers, at Nebraska, home to Iowa, and then you get USC to throw in there. And we didn't even mention Washington. So brutal schedule. Can they overcome it? Can this team get to a bowl game? Because that's what they would need to eclipse the win total that's out there right now.
In short, no and no. My system's win total on UCLA is 4.5. I have a lot of different concerns. I think they'll be able to run the ball a little bit. I like TJ Harden. The passing game is just going to be super risk averse. That's the game of Ethan Garber's. You can call him a game manager if you want. I at least appreciate his ability to take care of the ball, but you're not going to get any explosion out of that. You're going to get opposing defenses loading the box against Harden, I think. And then the defense, you not only lost D'Anton Lynn, you also lost sort of the hallmark of last year's defense, which was the awesome pass rush. Right after the snap, every single time UCLA was on you, because they had Leatu Latu, they had the Murphy twins, all three are now in the NFL. So they have to change the constitution of that defense. I think this is problematic heading into what is my number 5 ranked strength of schedule. I do not think that UCLA is a lock to go into Hawaii in week 1 and beat Hawaii. I don't. And then, like you said, Indiana right after that. And it's like, oh, yeah, they're new with Cignetti and they have to get stuff off the ground. But UCLA is new, too. UCLA does not have tape on Cignetti with his new team at Indiana. I think that's another potential scare spot. Then the 3 weeks after that, LSU, Oregon, and Penn State, you better start 2-0 if you're UCLA, because this thing could be an 0-5 nightmare really quick or a 1-4 nightmare. I don't like this year's UCLA team. Definitely a fade for me.
All right, a couple more before we let you run. Washington, thoughts on Washington? Win total sits at 6.5, a year removed from Kalen DeBoer leading this team to a national championship, undefeated regular season, Pac-12 title. A lot goes out the door. You look at the schedule, you got Penn State on the road, you got Iowa on the road, you do and Oregon on the road. You do avoid Ohio State and Penn State. No, you don't. Actually, Penn State right there. So schedule's pretty challenging. What do you make of Washington?
Yeah, where the market has this right now, if it's still at 6.5, I'm going to pass on that. My number is 6.6. I don't love it. I don't love this new Washington team. Obviously, last year, their offensive line was awesome. The Joe Moore award-winning offensive line. That whole thing is gone. They have to totally redo the offensive line. They did their best keeping the commitment of Will Rogers. Will Rogers, funny enough, he initially committed to Kalen DeBoer. We actually seen him on the sidelines of last year's college football playoff. Then it became the question of, are they going to keep his commitment? And kudos to them for doing that. But your receiving core is way down. You lost Dylan Johnson at running back. I do like Jonah Coleman, who Jed Fish brought over from Arizona. But you wonder about that, all the moving parts with that. And then the defense, you know, Tim, you recall this. I mean, it's the most recent college football game we had. Their run defense getting absolutely mauled by Michigan.
Yep.
Even though Washington made the college football national championship game last year, they had one of the worst run defenses in the Power 5. I don't know that it is any better this year now that we're at Power 4. I don't love the looks of that front seven. And then, of course, you lost the aforementioned CB1 from last year, Jabbar Muhammad, going to Oregon. I do like the kid they brought from Arizona, another one that Fish hit in Ephesians Prestock. He's a 6'4 kid who has some coverage chops. But that being said, there's just a lot of questions here. You're playing a tough schedule, my 16th ranked hardest schedule. The first couple games, you should be able to get wins. After that, it's going to get tough. I got to pass against a 6.5 number.
All right. Now that we're sitting here in Las Vegas, Thor, and it's the first time you and I have talked in person, this is nice. Dealer's choice here in Vegas to wrap up the podcast with you. Any team that you love from a over standpoint or an under standpoint remaining in the Big Ten?
I'm going to fade the market on this one and go under on Nebraska. I think the market has gone way too far with this thing, bringing that number up to 7.5. My number on Nebraska is 6.6, which, by the way, keep in mind, Nebraska has missed bowl games in 7 straight seasons. So even being at 6.6 is relatively bullish in terms of recent precedent there. I like that they went out and got Dylan Raiola at quarterback. Last year's team could not throw a lick. When they did, they often turned the ball over. I think it was 16 interceptions. Barely over 50% completions. But can that kid play right away? I'm not sure about that. And can you inoculate him from turnovers if you're going to play him right away? I don't know about any of that. The backups there are just scrambler guys. You're going back to the same offense you had last year. If that's, you know, the games where you have to play other people. I do like the defense. They're stout on the line of scrimmage. And of course they're going to run the ball well, but the pass defense last year was not very good. That's another question mark that I have. Tony White has that chaotic 3-3-5 where he sends heat from different directions, and you tend to get your defensive backs back on islands. Last year, they did not have the personnel to run that system. It's another one where the market is making a couple logical leaps of being like, oh, they will have good quarterback play. Oh, their pass defense will be better. I don't know that I can get there on all that. The schedule is manageable enough. Like, I have it at 41st, but even so, like I said, 6.6 wins. I think the market went too far with this thing. You have road games against Ohio State, USC, and Iowa. You have home games against Wisconsin and UCLA. And then Colorado coming in the non-conference. This is an under for me with Nebraska.
All right. Before you leave town, go stop by the window there and grab under 7.5 at +120 on the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'll take that.
At Thor KU Fantasy Life. Make sure to check out the website, sir. Always appreciate the insight, my friend.
Man, this was awesome being here in person. Stadium Swim was awesome yesterday as well. Thanks for having me, Timmy.
That is Thor Nystrom. Make sure to check out his work, a special edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe as we get ready for week 0. Believe it or not, it'll be here in less than a week. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.